It's now time to think outside the box of what we've always known.
I myself will tend my sheep and have them lie down, declares the sovereign Lord.
I think that's a profound turning point in somebody's relationship with God.
And our hope in starting this was that this would become an ever-expanding conversation.
Just two real guys talking about life. That's a nice tagline.
I'm Wayne Jacobson.
And I'm Brad Cummings.
And welcome to another edition of The God Journey.
Oh, we're back to the funky music. I love that music.
You are so sick. Big fight over who did that exactly.
Oh, I'm not telling.
Not a fight, but they've been asking on the forum. What? You know the song.
I'll give a tease. You have to know something about hip-hop and rap to find out who does the music.
Well, they're asking. I'm sure folks in the podcast
We should have a prize. We should have a contest. If you can find out who did the music, then you win something.
I could go on right now and win.
I know I could do, but with most things, employees or whatever, people are ineligible.
Our wives too.
Yes, they don't know.
My daughter?
No, they're out. Family members all out.
My dogs.
My kids could tell you. My kids could tell you.
They're
that's
out.
A hint.
They're out.
That's
Sorry.
A hint.
Oh.
Chipper could tell you.
Okay, well that's the funk intro. People say, hey, where'd that come from? We'll give you a week to figure it out and post it up on the
keep those cards and letters coming.
Forum if you want to.
Give us your suggestions and we'll write you back and say, yep, you're right. No, you're
send
bad.
Send all that email to Bradley.
Okay, you'll choke
it.
My computer, but wow. Go for it.
Got a great letter today in the mail. Someone ordering our volume 2 of the God Journey Archive.
Oh, it's out.
Yeah, they're quick. I just put it up. Yeah,
Super disc number 2?
Not the Super Disc. That's a different
story. Sorry.
Yeah, this is the God Journey Archive. We filled up a second one. We were just watching, you know, when we get enough.
How many do we
content.
Have?
We've got about 85 shows or whatever, and it's about 42 or 3 on each
you
of those
talk a
two.
Lot.
We've got them all on those two discs now. We have every show we've done, with the exception of the best one, the one we did last week, because
the sin issue.
It didn't fit.
The sin disease.
It'll be the first one on the archive number 3.
We got so much great response to the whole sin disease thing.
We did, and we'll talk a little bit more about it in a minute. Listen to this note I got from this fellow. He orders the archive, so if you want it, it's available, but we don't do a lot of that promoting here. Check the website if you want. It says, Wayne and Brad, you guys have been a real blessing to me. I look forward to Friday evenings, knowing I can be assured of a healthy dose of encouragement, practical advice, and a somewhat warped sense of humor.
Warped?
That'd be yours.
What do you mean?
He says, I know of what I speak. So he's trying to relate to us. But he's like, I'm glad you guys don't take yourselves too seriously. That's Ernie from Texas. Ernie, thanks a ton. Love that kind of stuff.
See you Friday.
Love it. Friday?
Every Friday.
Are you going to Texas?
This will be up.
Oh,
hi, Ernie.
Okay, well, it's Monday for us. I'll be in Tulsa come Friday.
You're going back to the Holy Land.
Going back to the old alma mater, going undercover.
Are you making a pilgrimage to Tulsa?
I'm making a pilgrimage to Oral Roberts University.
I'm
going undercover for the weekend.
You get to see Oral? Yes, no, maybe.
No, he doesn't go back to university. He's out in California. So he's actually closer to me now than he will be then. So, no, I won't see him.
So what do you do?
I'll see the president, though, Richard.
Who?
I'm helping with a spiritual life retreat that a good old friend of mine is doing back there.
You're just going to mess things up.
And no, we won't back there.
You don't mess with the Holy Land.
The cops are out back there.
The religious police will get you.
But I got some practice in this weekend.
What happened?
Well, I just, you know.
You went to church?
No, I don't. No. I visited a local club.
The health club. You're talking a religious club.
I live next to a community college here, about 5 houses away, and there's a club that meets over there on Sunday mornings.
They rent that big
campus? They rent some space. And so I thought, you know, I was all alone on Sunday morning, and I was just hanging around. I thought, you know, I feel like, and I'm doing another book I'm not ready to talk about yet, and I want to do some research. So I thought, I'm going to go hit their early service and just, I've been a long time.
You went undercover.
Yeah.
Nobody ratted you out? The guy didn't stop his sermon and point you out?
Nope. Nobody knew who I was. It was just lovely. Sat there. Actually, there's some wonderful things about it. The guy was not a fraud type, put the best face on everything. Very real. Very genuine, real about his own spiritual struggles
cool.
The sermon. Yeah, it was good. But it's just a lot of that stuff. Can't deal with it. It's just hard.
I slept in.
Once a year, I can do it, you know, but man, boy, if I do that every week, I just say, man, look at all the time we're wasting here, all the effort going to all these programs, and really nobody cares. And anyway.
I got a great response to our last podcast. I want to read it.
You
it's
got
on the
this
forum.
Yeah,
it's on the forum. It's on the forum.
Yeah, okay.
It says, I am a very new podcast listener. This episode is only the fifth or sixth I've listened to, and I must say, I feel it's the best one yet. It really spoke to me, and I agree with the other comments here about making me feel lighter in my step and more ready to continue my journey. It goes on to say, I'm optimistic and hopeful for my journey and strengthen my relationship with Jesus. Thank you all for taking the time to share your thoughts and experiences. We talked about sin.
I just think that's
Doesn't
amazing.
That blow your mind?
It does.
Most people are not lifted and feel lighter because you talk about sin. Most of the time, that's a total downer. And yep. I love it. I mean, the forum went nuts. It's great.
And I got a lot of personal emails. Here's one from back east that I really was moved by the Sin Podcast. Now,
the Sin Podcast.
I just think this is, I mean, we kind of spilled into that whole deal, but, and I do think at the end of it, the whole how we process, how we think of it, and now it really turned out to be the Jesus Podcast, not the Sin Podcast, because it's really about him and how we just live in him and how he changes the way we think about these things. He says, between that one and the prayer one, and thinking about getting together with everyone, which I'll be going back east, D.C. area in March, he said, my heart is awakened again to spend some time with Father and just breathe in his freshness. I've really been brewing on the selfishness indicates how little we know we're loved concept in two ways. First, because I realize anew just how selfish I am in so many ways still. Boy, isn't that the truth for all of us? And then I'm reminded of how much he really does love me, and it opens my heart. I tell you, to be able to talk about sin for 40 minutes and have people come away talking about how light and open and excited they were to draw near to Jesus, I tell you, just nothing better. I don't know how all that happened. It had to be a Jesus moment because we're not that bright, but I really appreciate it.
Well, you know, it's a blast when you see freedom starting to take place in people's lives and the way that they're perceiving and seeing things. Because I do think that it's like, you know what? Jesus came to free us.
Yeah.
And so oftentimes with religion, we get bound up in a whole bunch of stuff, get stuck on some treadmill that you get exhausted and hopefully you fall off of.
Yeah.
But I think the cross is going to make a comeback.
Hey.
That's my belief.
Okay, good deal.
And I think it's going to free a lot of people. And I think it's going to end in a glorious finale.
Ah.
That's my thoughts.
And a lot of people jumped on that comment about selfishness, a reflection of how little we perceive, how loved we are. Reading on through Titus in my own readings toward the end of the week, one of the things I noticed him saying, he talks about being dupes of sin. And this is the phrasing in the message, but this is Titus chapter 3, about first, second, third verses in there early on. So he talks about being dupes of sin, hated and hating back. And I thought, gosh, what an interesting flip on that, that the sin really is because we feel hated, we hate. And that is a lot of our one anothering kinds of sins or brokenness, how we export that. And how love really is being loved by God and then learning to love others in the same way fixes all that. I mean, just out of hated and hating or loved and loving. And Jesus came to win a whole kingdom of folks that would get into the loved and loving, which is where I want to be.
You know, I got a neat email this week from a guy named Derek, and he happened across the podcast, and also some other friend of his was blogging on something, and he brought up the analogy on the whole sin thing of, you know, being former slaves of a former master, and then being freed, and then hearing that slave master's voice in the marketplace, and yet you're a free person. And the difference of the response of how you would be if that was actually a transaction you'd understood, where it's like you knew that that master used to own you, and you were bound by him, and then you're now freed. And how that voice no longer has ownership.
You hear that same voice, and it just doesn't.
You can hear it, but it doesn't have the same impact. I thought it was brilliant.
Yeah, it is. That's great. Then we got this comment on the blog today. So I'm a very new listener to the podcast, and this episode, referring to the one on sin, was the best ever, he says. It gives, or she, I'm not sure which it was, it gives me very clear and concise steps for my own personal journey that I could relate to. Thank you guys for all the time and effort you put in, and I can't wait for the next one. Well, I can't wait for the next one either. For us, it's never on Friday. It's always on Monday, Tuesday, or somewhere else. But I always look forward to you coming over here and hanging out. And
it's fun. We talk, and somehow God just jumps into the conversation, huh?
Yeah, well, that's our hope all the time. Well, it was a good day to be God yesterday, wasn't it?
What do you mean?
I got a lot of press yesterday. My goodness.
Yeah, the Super Bowl coaches are Christians. That's great.
For those of you overseas who don't realize, we had a big sporting event here yesterday.
Oh, they realize. The Super Bowl goes all over the world.
You know what's funny about that? Because at the end of it, you know, you see him holding the trophy and go,
soccer
is, the world
soccer
championship.
Is still the bigger sport.
Well, we won the world championship. Well, no one else was there. So, of course, we won the World
Cup. Oh, no, no. There's a team from Toronto now.
Not in the National Football League. What's funny about that is I used to play intramurals in college. I played intramural football. In fact, I was an all-star 2 years running.
Ooh.
Cornerback. Defensive
Ooh.
Cornerback. All-star. Flag football.
Ooh.
But you know what? When we won the championship, we never thought we won the NCAA. We were the only ones competing. Just our own little college right here. It's different. So the world championship thing
moment.
Is hilarious because the rest of the world kind of said, what? No one else even plays this. Which I think it's a better sport than what they call football. I really do. I got to tell you, I can't handle the other sport at all. But that's beside the point. It probably should be the NFL championship.
Beckham's coming to L.A.
And then, you know, so then the owner of the team that wins and the coach of it, man, they just all over the God thing. God helped us do it. God vindicated our way of doing it. God's way.
I like Tony Dungy.
I like him as a person.
He seems like a neat guy.
The comments just made me want to hurl. I got to tell you.
Why?
And then after the Super Bowl.
Why? Explain yourself. Why?
I'll get to it in a minute. Don't rush me. Man, you pushy dude. Then everybody takes off finally because we had some folks over for the game. And then I was watching the tape of the golf, a little more sedate viewing for sure. But I like the golf tournament. Watch it. A young kid wins from Australia. And, man, he just, hey, man, thanks to Jesus. I won this thing. He's the Lord of my life. And I just think it was a good day to be God yesterday. Got
it
a lot
is.
Of press and people are just slapping
You don't
him
seem
on
to like
back.
Those comments.
You know what I don't like about him?
Honest, what do you not like?
It's more that success deity cried. We'll jump all over God when we're winners. And this vindicates us. But you know what?
Nobody seems to thank God for when they lost their shorts and they just, I got to get creamed.
If winning vindicates God's moving, what does that mean? No, nobody a believer on the Bears?
Well, Lovie Smith was a believer.
Exactly.
And
he
is a Christian that lost that day. They didn't seem to give him the mic.
He looked pretty sad. Well, they gave him the mic at the end. He looked pretty sad.
Did he say, thanks, Jesus, for letting me lose?
No, no one says that.
Was Tony Dungy the better devotion for the day?
If you're into the success deity of the
See, but I
pro
don't,
sports makes
personally,
with
personally, you know, I don't know them. I don't
you're
know
young.
Their hearts.
You'll learn.
Oh, thank you. Way to dismiss me.
Whoa.
See, I hear it. I honestly, I was kind of jazzed to hear it. And I hear them with just a simple, like the owner did, you know, he probably don't listen to our podcast. So it's not a problem.
No, and if he does, call in. We'd love to interview you.
See, I thought that was a little odd because it was sort of like, what is this, a PSA? We got to somehow, you know, thank God. We did it the Lord's work, public service announcement. And it's like Tony Dungy, I thought it was fantastic where they make such a big deal about, ooh, the first African-American coach to win. It's like, ooh, you know, you can't just be a good coach. It's like you're a black guy, so yeah, you won. Wow. And it's like he said, I could kind of care less about that. I am a little more excited about the fact that we're both Christians.
Yep.
And I heard it in the context that, you know, he was just sort of grateful in that moment. And I don't think he was making some big theological treatise about, I serve the Lord and therefore I'm a winner.
No, whenever I hear God in the mouth of an athlete with a microphone in his face, it scares me. Because, what he did say was, and I've said it before, Lovie Smith and I, not only the first two African-Americans, but Christian coaches showing that you can win doing it the Lord's way. And I just think that's kind of, I don't mind people using the platform to make clear their testimony, but be honest, I think it turns off people in the world.
I'd agree with you there.
For the Christians, we get that little chest thumping. Another point for our time. We got a little press here. But, you know, all the sports stuff, if you didn't hear it live in America, you didn't hear it later because none of the sports stuff ran that. Because I think the people in the world, people don't get the in-house rhetoric of that. I think it makes people feel pretty looked down upon and pretty much like, well, you've got to have God to win. But you know what? Tony Dungy and his team, they got whooped by Pittsburgh last year and they were the home team and it was a big deal. And I didn't hear people saying that. Hey, it just shows that you can win doing it God's way. I mean, I just wish they would say, you know what? I'm just thankful to Jesus to be able to have a moment like this and let it go at that.
See, I agree with you there. I agree with you, Wayne.
You do?
I do.
Well, then this podcast is over. Thanks for listening.
No, not done yet. No, I think that's nicer. Yeah, I would agree. Because I think when you try to put the whole success treadmill on it, yeah, it kind of ruins it. And I do think it's discordant with our culture because they're kind of like, oh, okay, so what? I don't think most people give a flap.
I think they get offended.
You think they get offended?
I think it's offensive. I don't know that they get offended. Most people, it's not.
I don't think they care.
I think
why do you think
they cut
it
out of all the highlight shows later if they don't care?
Oh,
care.
Ooh, there you go.
And they cut it out. because
they don't know what to do with it.
You know, to me, it's like going to a wedding for a couple and getting a two-hour sermon on you need to come to Jesus and confess in the sinner's prayer. I didn't come here to listen to you push your religion on me. I got a young couple I'm marrying in a couple of weeks. And I
know them.
I do very few weddings these days because I really...
This one's special.
...hate them. There's only about...
This one's special.
When this young gal asked me to preside at her ceremony with her, I've known her since she was 4 years old.
Yeah,
grew up in our home with our kids. She just... Fabulous guy. I said, you know, there's probably two people left on the planet that can talk me out of retirement to do a wedding, and you're one of them. And so I'm not going to tell you who the other one is, but we're down to that. We're down to two possible weddings. One will be done next week. So that'll be good. Now, why do we get into that?
I don't either.
Oh.
Pushing your religion at a wedding.
The reason
so you're not going to give an altar call at the service, Wayne?
I asked him, I said, why'd you guys ask me to do this?
I'm going to bring all my non-Christian friends and party crash.
We knew you wouldn't do that religious pitch during our ceremony. And the fact is, I think it's pretty... empty. Now, does God use it? And somebody will say, I came to Christ because I heard somebody at a wedding give the, you know, four spiritual laws or the six spiritual freaky things or whatever. And I'm like Paul. Hey, whatever God.
What you just called them? What did you just call them?
Six freaky things about Jesus. I don't know. Go with me here. I'm blowing smoke. Anyway, I'm grateful that God uses stuff like that. As Paul said,
six freaky things about Jesus.
But you know what?
I
think most people sit there and you watch them roll their eyes. Oh boy! And what smacks of, and we've talked about it a lot.
I think
you're talking about
something brilliant right there. Six freaky.
I'll give you six freaky things about Brad in a minute. Heck, gummit! I think people feel exploited by those kinds of things.
I'd agree with you there
because it's
not a
real part of this moment. It's my artificial way to use the microphone I have
to impose my agenda
on a captive audience.
Yeah.
And I thought that happened yesterday. And you know what?
Ooh, it rankles you.
You know what?
You got your ire up.
I burnt my Super Bowl tape.
Oh, he's pointing his finger.
I burnt the Super Bowl tape. I'll never watch that. No, I'm kidding.
You T-voted it.
Now, let's be clear. I really do love Tony Dungy's testimony. I think it's more powerful without that garbage at the end of the game. Because everybody knows. He's talked about it all week long. You don't need at the end. If you want to say, you know what, I'm just grateful that Jesus would let me have a moment like this. I'm fine with that because I think Jesus does care about our work and where we live.
I think you ought to be a personal life coach for the Christian coaches out there and help them prepare for their moment in fame.
You know, I'd love to. I'd like to take every Christian golfer.
Oxers,
I'd like to take Christian golfers. I'd like to take Christian
celebrities and Oxers. I'll make some phone calls.
Because I tell you, when I do the bridge builder stuff and you really see how the world looks at that stuff, and see, that's what I don't
think the total
what we
disconnect.
See is how the choir plays to it. And yeah, thump, thump, and he gets invites to prayer breakfasts all during the off season. Tony's speaking schedule now out the kazoo because everybody wants to hear about his faith. And that's not why he did it. I don't think that's why he did it at all. Let me not cast aspersions on the dear brother. And like I said, I love his testimony, but I don't think we have any appreciation for how that plays in Peoria to the world. It's dumb. And it's not helpful to the kingdom if you care about the world. And I know not everybody does. I mean, I had one guy say that I was talking about this one time. The guy said, I don't care what the freaking world thinks. If it encourages Christians to do, you know, God will make you successful. And I just think, you know what, you haven't read three-fourths of the book. The book doesn't say God's the success deity that's going to make you the pinnacle of your profession. And I think some get there. They can be blessed that it's happening to them. And I don't think they need to.
I think you always get two sides of the coin.
And shake the six freaking things about Jesus.
Oh, went from freaky to frickin'. Wow. Wayne. He's got his ire up.
I'm off script now. Okay, settle down. Settle down.
Well, hey, you showed me some clips of another wonderful video that's out there, huh?
And loving. Oh, yeah. Well, I first heard about this from a friend. I mean, he was going to come on. What's her name?
Pelosi.
Yeah, but Alexandria.
Not Nancy, but her daughter.
Was it Alexandria Pelosi? Yeah.
Yes, not Nancy, but her daughter.
She did a special recently for HBO, and I'm trying to figure out what the name
it's
is.
It's called The Friends of God.
Friends of God. And what it was is here, she's a blue stater. She was going to travel through the red states.
And what's
states.
That mean?
Well, in America, there's the blue states are those that went Clinton, went Kerry.
Democrats,
red states,
liberals,
red Bush, and Bush, and Bush.
Conservatives, Republicans.
In America, if you're not a Bush or you're not a Clinton, you just can't get a run for the White House going. It's really kind of sad here. But this was on HBO. It's a big premium channel, and I don't pay for it. You don't pay for it. So
I don't get HBO.
We tried to find it on the internet, but we couldn't see it yet. And I had somebody try to tape it for me, but they, you know, trying to get it, it didn't work. It's called Friends of God, A Road Trip with Alexandra Pelosi. And her deal, and she actually, unfortunately, Ted Haggard was her tour guide through the red states.
I bet
her.
That plays out well.
Well, when I first heard
about it. Thanks, Ted.
A friend of mine who'd been a pastor, just retired, been a pastor for eons.
Looking a little
haggard. Called me up and goes, did you see that special on HBO last night? I said, no, man, I don't get it. And he goes, I am not an evangelical.
Isn't getting HBO sinful?
You know, that'd be my fault. I was going to point that out to him, but I decided he's just retired. I give him a pass. In any case, he was just mortified. He said, you know what? There wasn't one negative comment from the documentarian. It was just that he said, she just gave Christians enough rope to hang themselves. They look like absolute fools.
I haven't seen it,
but I wasn't surprised.
Well, yeah, the clips that we found on YouTube and that you showed me on here, they were a little, you know, disheartening because you realize, you know, in the context in which they're just played, they're actually saying all this stuff. And they do look like goobers.
They do. We saw the clip on Evolution. We saw the clip where Haggard, he's looking a little haggard. Let me say Haggard here. He was looking a little haggard. And this was all taped before any of this came out.
I know. And then this summary little on screen, yep, he gets caught in homosexuality.
Whole thing was edited before. And then the gal who did it had a baby a few days right after all this was being exposed. And they didn't have time to recut it. And what it gave to everybody watching, I've read quite a bit about those who watch it from major news outlets, they were saying, gosh, it's hard not to trust the sincerity of anyone else you saw on that because the main guy proved not to be living it. At the same time, he was mocking other people who weren't living it at a time when he wasn't. So the whole spin, there's one little moment where I thought this was hilarious. We saw this little clip on YouTube. You can find it if you look for it. It says, surveys say that evangelicals, this is Ted Haggard talking, surveys say that evangelicals have the best sex life of any other group. Okay, yeah, let's flaunt that. We've got a microphone. He said, so then he asks a pair of married young male parishioners standing nearby how often they have sex with their wives.
Oh, yeah, twice a day.
One of them says every day, twice a day.
There you go.
And the Haggard asks the man how frequently his wife climaxes. And they know this is getting an R rating show.
Woo!
And he says, every time, the man says. And they just go,
he's a better man than me.
Why are we doing this? Why are we doing this?
I think that relates to the whole dynamic of, as opposed to simply living your life and letting that speak loudly to everyone around, we have our stupid little moments where we think we got to sell something. And you come off as a used car salesman.
Oh, the Evolution guy really did, didn't he? With an Aussie accent to boot. Did your grandpa look like this? The big monkey on the thing. Oh, my gosh. And they had a cute little song about the dinosaur or something or other. And,
you know, but that is the power of editing. It's not like they got him to say the wrong stuff. And it's not like I even think they took it out of context. But it's only part of the story. I think there's a whole bunch of really cool people out there that love Jesus that don't act like goobers.
Yeah, you don't have to, because one time some guy wrote me and he said, aren't you sick and tired of the way the media makes Christians look greedy and arrogant? And Bobby wrote me his whole deal. At the end of it, I said, and yeah, that's just on Christian television. I think we do that to ourselves. Oh, my gosh, forget what the world does to us. Flip on most Christian TV channels, and what are you seeing? You're not seeing anything I want to be like.
I usually can't do that.
Oh. It's just sad. It seems so. Here's what I was reading as I was working through Timothy, last little bit of my journey. And I just, Paul.
And you're reading from the Message translation, right?
Again, sorry. But
no, it's fine. I think it's great.
2 Timothy 3. Here's Paul, older guy, coming to the end of his life. He's writing his younger guy. You know, Timothy's his bud, and they've been on the journey together. And he says, don't be naive. There are difficult times ahead. As the end approaches, people are going to be self-absorbed.
Yeah.
Money hungry.
Yeah.
Self-promoting.
Yeah.
Stuck up.
Yeah.
Profane. Contemptuous of parents, crude, coarse, dog-eat-dog, unbending, slanderers, impulsively wild, savage.
Ooh.
Cynical, treacherous, ruthless, bloated windbags, addicted to lust, and allergic to God, and they'll make a show of religion. So this is not talking about the world. I mean, he gets into that lynch and going, oh yeah, that's exactly what the world's like. And then he goes, but they're making a pretense of the world's making no pretense of religion. So they'll make a show of religion, but behind the scenes, they're animals. Stay clear of these people. These are the kind of people who smooth talk themselves into the homes of unstable and needy women and take advantage of them. Women who, depressed by their sinfulness, take up with every new religious fad that calls itself truth. They get exploited every time and never really learn. Now, I realize, women, that's a hard hit on y'all. Believe me, I think guys do
that
too.
I know enough guys do.
Yeah, me too, and I'm probably one of those guys at some point. But it's so easy. I think that's what was so liberating maybe about the Sin podcast last time. That's just, when I, in the club I was with Sunday morning, at the end of it was, here's what we need to do to try harder to make this work. And so let's pledge ourselves. And
the good old try harder, do better gospel.
You know, and I don't think people walk away uplifted. I think people either walk away and they've heard it enough times they no longer even hear it. So they walk out and they're flying.
They glaze over.
Football game shortly. We're on our way out of here. So I think that's probably the good uptake of that. But on the other hand, if you really take that seriously, you walk away. It's so easy to exploit people's sense of shame. Nobody feels like they do enough. No, if you get right down to it, you know, do you really working hard enough? Are you really doing it? And I just think for us to really be the kind of light in this age, we've got to live as transformed people. And even though Paul could be thankful when the gospel goes out, even those that are doing it for greedy and selfish ends, he's thankful that God uses that anyway. He still invites us. Timothy and Titus are really wonderful about getting to down. Make sure your character reflects the King. Don't let anything in your life be a distraction to who God is and how he wants to make his love available to the world. And yet I think in so many ways, my friend was saying from back east, I'm not an evangelical anymore because he watched the whole show of evangelical. He goes, I'm not one of those. And in every way, they looked narrow-minded. They looked arrogant. They looked...
Does a documentary like that bug you?
No.
See, it doesn't bug me either.
What's wrong with us?
Well, no, because I don't think that there's the trap of shame that it's like, well, you know, somehow I've got to explain away what they see. It's like, you know what? Yeah, that's the gooberness of people who are acting
gooberness?
More. Yeah, it's a new word.
Gooberness.
Yeah, gooberness of people who are acting religiously. And you're just going like, you know, they may take the camera off. They may be fine once the camera. But in that moment, there's that performance reflex. It's like when you're at the doctor and he hits you in the knee and your foot jerks. I think there is that knee jerk of gooberness.
Whoa!
That relates to religion.
You're stringing together some serious.
I am. I'm having eureka.
Yeah.
You know, the reality is I think what I love about the fact that was a documentary where they didn't give editorial comment by a narrator, but they just let people talk, is it does end up showing you just how goofy, in its own little context, the inbred religious system is.
Yep.
And it's like, guess what? I'm not a part of that. I'm not interested in that. That is kind of a little, like, circling eddy. That just gets stuck in itself.
It's becoming increasingly irrelevant,
which is
why we did that podcast a while back about, we're freaked out, man, everybody's only going to be 4% evangelicals in 20 years. And we were going,
great.
Yeah, right, right.
It's fine.
Because I think the world gets it too at some levels. Now, when I deal with political groups, with bridge builders, I'm going to D.C. I got a big briefing today. I'm supposed to facilitate a dialogue of 17 major groups that influence public education are coming together in D.C. in March, and I'm supposed to do a workshop and moderate a conversation with them. All the groups they mention are pretty much hostile to people of faith. And so when you come in those places, I think there's a price to be paid for that kind of documentary. I think those people come in there with a greater sense of disrespect, a greater desire to marginalize a group of people they think are arrogant and irrelevant and are trying to force their way down the throat of other people. It'll be more difficult there. But, you know,
but it's an argument of minorities. It's people on both extremes ripping up the worst caricature.
I agree. Absolutely.
And you're missing the mass realm of people who are in the middle who are like, they're not like that.
No, and I think that's what I was saying. Hey, most people who see that HBO thing, There's going to be some, unfortunately, go, hey, man, that's great stuff for the home team. We were on HBO saying great stuff. Now, I don't know where those people come from, but I think most...
You just mentioned it was in the South.
Most, believe it or not, be nice. I'm going to go to the South later this year.
Can I come?
Well, you're the one you said yourself, so all you in Carolina. Brad might be coming your way. And there have been some folks out there who want to hang out with some of us, so we ought to go together,
right.
Maybe.
There you go.
But... I think they get it. That whole people that think, gosh, this is really wonderful for our state. But that's, again, like you said, small. I think most people, even the world who see that, really get the idea that that's the worst face of faith. That faith people they know necessarily aren't near that arrogant and near that problematic. Because I don't, when I'm talking to people on buses and planes and in the culture in general, I find people are very open to talk about spiritual things. And they don't see it in the context of that. Those religious celebrities that religion exalts, which I think is encouraging. I got a letter from a gal, this is probably a few months ago, but she was talking just about some of her struggles with religion and what was communicating the culture. And she said, I guess what it comes right down to it, my bottom line concern is that our Father might be getting a very bad rap and that Jesus isn't getting the full honor he deserves. And the earth can't be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord if we don't have this knowledge or the freedom of religion thing. And, you know, I wrote her back and I said, you know what, God doesn't seem to be as tense about that as we are.
No, I don't think he had a bad day in heaven because that Friends of God thing aired on HBO.
Or even after the sports stuff yesterday. I think he was probably even okay with that.
I think he gave Tony Dungy a high five.
I do,
personally. And I think he gave Lovie Smith
for effort.
A high five, too.
For effort.
I think he said, I love you both.
Oh, I'm sure of that. But if they would have known they were more loved, maybe they wouldn't have had to do that on TV in quite that way. Maybe they would have had a little more wisdom about the way to do that. But the whole idea of it, God's getting it back. When I wrote The Naked Church the first time, I remember being, yeah, we don't fix this because God's just getting a bad rap. And I didn't say it that way, but that was the angst when I wrote the first version, which no one can read today because it's no longer
in print. I have it.
No, you got to have more. Oh, you do have the original one, probably.
I think so.
Can I buy it from you?
No.
I'm buying them all back?
No.
$500 a book?
No. Okay.
Now we know you can be bought. We're just negotiating the price.
Is that your book? I can be bought.
But I just think God is so much bigger than the misuses of men. And Paul said, we have a passion to present God's character as well as presenting his agenda in the world or presenting his message in the world.
Maybe again, we're only talking about the tiny microcosm of the media. And it can seem as if that is, what was going over the whole globe. And you're just going like, you know what? I think there's so much more going on planet Earth than we ever have the sense. If all we have a sense of what's going on is what we're fed to by the media, you're going to get everything that's built around controversy, caricatures, and a whole bunch of other just junk because that's what they think drives the attention span. And you're just going like, you know what? I imagine the reason God isn't so anxious is because there's a lot of great, wonderful things that are also going on. They may not be on the news. They may not be on the front page of the paper. But I think the testimony of Jesus is alive and well in the lives of a lot of people that just love him. I really do too,
and I think that's happening. But I think it's more than just the media here, because I do think what the media gets to reflect is this whole arrogant religiousness that Paul warns us over and over again. It just builds up to whole idea that was, I guess, repeated constantly and Ms. Pelosi said through the whole thing, everybody off camera tried to convert her. They tried to, get the four spiritual laws in there and get you converted.
Six freaky things about Jesus.
And she actually says at the end of it, I was pretty, she actually talks about, she was impressed by the evangelicals. I have to say, I gained a lot of respect for the evangelicals because they are really mobilized and they're really organized. They go to church every Sunday, well, not all of them, and then at church they say, okay, we're going to have a meeting after and talk about the marriage amendment or something. And they meet, and they get politically active. So she was impressed from their political active side of things.
They actually want to do something.
But she said their answer for everything is, because the Bible said so, that's why. And whether it's Southern again, sorry. Whether it's evolution, whether it's gay marriage, whether it's whatever, that there's no engagement in the world of ideas as to why the point of view might be valuable.
I think that's...
But we quote from a book other people don't give the same place that we do.
But I also think that a fundamental flaw is the fact that it's as if the church, the little C club thing, has declared war on the culture. and they have taken a defensive posture against the world. Like, ooh, they, you know, like they see themselves as a little minority, and they've got to, you know, circle the wagons, and we've got to, you know, in order to sort of get the home team all frothing and excited, we got to sort of talk about this war that we've got to mobilize. And it's like, you know what? I don't think that's at all effective. I don't think that's all a reality. I think it's a false war. Because I think having stepped outside the whole context for a while, you step back, you look at this, and it's like, my gosh, how irrelevant is that little diatribe? Because I do think that the world out there, frankly, is spiritually hungry.
I do too.
And I think they're interested in someone who's willing to not preach at them, but talk with them.
Yeah, walk alongside them rather than preach from the pulpit and batter down on them. Absolutely.
Don't even bother to witness to them because it's not a verb. You know, I mean, it's like the dynamic is I'm supposed to be a witness. What's a witness? Someone who was there, someone who saw something, someone who experienced something. It's like, bottom line, if that's true in your life, guess what? Good luck keeping quiet about it. When Jesus is genuinely active and doing something in my life, no one has to urge me. Now make sure you tell someone about that. You know, it comes out in the normalcy of life because it's alive. And people respond to it when they don't think they're being sold.
Yeah, and I think the word witness, what I like about it is it doesn't come from a superior place. If I've seen something you haven't seen, that doesn't make me better than you.
Oh, yeah, it does.
A witness to the trial is just saying, here's what I saw. You know, here's what happened. The idea of us having a superior status in the world, and we've got to go out and save all those pagan heathens, is the very disconnect.
Yeah,
that's destroying our message in the world. Absolutely. But if we can walk alongside and be part of people's discovery, I was listening to this. It's hilarious. There's a radio talk show on early morning down here, and I listen to it sometimes when I'm headed to the airport. These guys are funny. Now, they're as irreverent as can be. This is not a Christian radio station, and they have no passion for the Jesus thing at all. In fact, they mock it all the time. But during one of the things, they have a very young producer gal who's on there, and they kind of shop the thing around in the morning and say, hey, hi to everybody. And she said, I'll get something to say. And she starts on this story about her grandfather just diagnosed with this huge tumor near his heart or something. And they're going, oh, come on, man, you're pulling the whole show down. What are you talking about? You were kind of on her. She said, no, wait. And so she was telling the story from a week ago. He goes to the hospital. He's got this thing. So getting ready to do treatment kinds of things. And he goes in, has another scan, and the doctor comes in and says, it's gone. Now, no one's prayed that they know. Not a praying family. This was not, you know, a thing on, you know, one of those healing shows that you don't believe. She's going, it was gone. And the doctor said, I've never seen anything. Here it is on this x-ray. Here it isn't on this x-ray. It is gone. And they didn't, it was hilarious. They didn't know what to do with it. They're going, is that a miracle? They're going, maybe it is. Should we call the Pope? Should we call the Vatican? Have it registered? It was just hilarious. But what they were saying, all these guys who really don't have a spiritual bone in their body, they're all going, wow, that's a real miracle. That's really something. It was just a moment.
See,
of how big God is among
reality,
those people have no idea.
Reality works. Reality wins.
Truth wins.
You don't have to sugarcoat it. You don't have to sell it.
And
if
not the truth
true,
of the Bible says so. It's
just the truth of God's love.
Of life and who he is.
Yeah, I wonder if at the heart of all this, it isn't the whole shame thing.
Shame thing.
You know, the whole gooberliness of... See, I'm making up words. I love this. It's great. No, but I do think it's that because there's a sense of shame, there's that knee-jerk sense that I've got to perform. And somehow I can't just let it be as it is. I've got to, you know, add to it.
And when I have a moment to say, I'm right or I'm better, I've got to really
can't resist
say it.
Yeah. Our shame provokes that. And it's like, that's such a cool thing about what Jesus actually comes to bring freedom for, is you can actually relax. You can kind of sit down inside and go like, you know what? It's finished. He did it. I couldn't fix it. He can. And he did. And in me, I don't have to live as this unloved, I need to perform so as to be accepted person. I can live going like, thank you.
I don't need to use every moment in front of a microphone to prove how much better I am than the rest of you.
No, because it doesn't prove anything.
It doesn't.
It just comes off discordant. It just, because I think that's what you're reacting to, is like you're just going like, you know, that there's a sense of that's not reality. It's not the whole story. You're sort of mischaracterizing a moment and you're trying to do it for like, ooh, we won. Yeah. And it is. It just, you end up being a goofus.
Thanks for traveling with us today on The God Journey. If you'd like to join the conversation, we'd appreciate your comments or your questions by email or at our website, thegodjourney.com. Stop by today and join the conversation.